little surprise.
I know. Double. Got it in sync.
Cheers.
Cheers. This is literally all the alcohol I have in my fridge.
I love
Happy birthday.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. No puns allowed. One of us is 40 years old. One of us is 40.
One of us will be giving a toast at the end for random shit.
Sweet.
I prepared notes.
Oh my God. I'm honored. I am honored.
I'm very excited.
Yeah. A lot of emotions, a lot of vibes. I mean, this is the last football game preview of our year. Oh. We're going to the championship game. We'll talk about that. There's a lot to get to. We could talk about Ryan Day and Lou Holtz, which is always probably one of my favorite things. But first and foremost, Municipal. Shout out to Municipal, our friends. I like the sweatshirt. That's nice. Would you say that's a forest green?
Yeah, I would say this is a forest green. That's excellent.
Thanks.
So proud of you.
Thanks.
Because remember, you had that shirt that you kept calling like salmon, and it was like more peach.
Yep. That's a regular debate in our household with my
Not
wife.
To roast you on your birthday.
No,
also,
it's fine.
Again, I don't know if Producer Matt kept the clip in the beginning or not, but if you hear beeping, there's nothing I can do about this beeping in the background. It is just my townhouse complex is being painted, so.
I will hope for beeping. We have not had many dog Hank cameos.
Well, Hank doesn't live with me anymore.
I know. We kind of miss it. And beeping is fine. People have listened to this a long time. It's like a little beeping.
We stopped. At least I got my charger before we started. Also, in honor of your birthday, I'm wearing my headphones like this. So if you're not watching on YouTube, I have them.
Normally,
I have them hidden behind the cord, hidden behind me. But this time, I'm doing it in the front in honor of your birthday.
There is a reason for this, because AirPods have burned me way too many times.
Wait, are you using the Peloton ones?
Yes.
Yeah, I use the Peloton ones too.
Yes.
Shout out Peloton. They should actually sponsor the pod because we use their headphones.
More specifically, Caitlin's, because mine are actually on the Peloton. Yeah, I am. I am using the Peloton ones. I don't know if you got sent, but I got sent new headphones from BR when we did our live videos. And they are pretty good headphones, but they fall out of my ears constantly.
I just can't figure out how to connect mine to my mic. So that's an off-season job, because I think too, it's very nice of the great people at Bleacher Report to send us stuff and equipment that we can use to up our game. But it does take quite a bit of time to set up some of the stuff. So
it is. But your sign, the sports page right now, though, is
thriving, which Bleacher Report did not send to me. We'll give my mom full credit for ordering this. It's my logo.
Are we still having individual letter issues?
Yeah, so the P and the O are our problem. But
right now they've
been doing all right. So no, I don't know.
That's good.
We will see.
I'm sure I'm jinxing it.
Yeah, thank you very much, because I do have a live show after this. So I'm sure it'll go out during the live show.
All right, let's start with, we're like a week late, I guess, but I think talking about the semis,
yes,
it will be a good transition when we do preview the Natty at the end. There's some other news in between that is significant, but let's talk about these games. So let's start Notre Dame, Penn State, and I think everything that's happened at Penn State since. So I bet Penn State, you and I were communicating during this game, and it's funny. I remember one of the messages is you're like, yeah, but Notre Dame will find a way. I think that's like what you said. We were texting back and forth, and they found a way. Like Penn State stated, Drew Aller like went into Drew Aller like mode, and Notre Dame did the thing. How do I ask this? Do you think more about Notre Dame? Obviously they won, and I really like Marcus Freeman. The vibes are great, but like, was it impressive, the win? Like, what was the takeaway from them winning? They're in the championship. That's a big fucking deal. Don't get me wrong. But like, it's hard for me in the performance to gauge this, because they're winning so differently. It's not pretty. Riley Leonard, who I accidentally called Will Howard when I was writing a story. God damn it. My bad.
By the way, so funny.
God damn it.
I was like, wait a minute.
Yeah, it's a long year. So what do you think? Like, how do you evaluate this Notre Dame team right now?
So I would say, yes, it was impressive, but I think like what I said to you kind of still stands is like everything was not going in their favor and they were still finding a way. For Penn State, everything wasn't in their favor and they just haven't had that momentum. And they also haven't had games like that during the college football playoff. So I knew that, like, if people were going to be battle, if a team was going to be battle tested, it was going to be Notre Dame and they were going to be more prepared for these moments. And they played tougher opponents. They played opponents that do play defense similar to what they were up against in Penn State. So I think they just were challenged earlier. However, I will say coming out of that game, the initial conversation obviously was about, you know, James Franklin can't win the big game. James Franklin is winning the long game right now. I mean, he has Katron Allen, Nick Singleton coming back.
Yeah.
You've got Drew Aller coming back. And, oh, by the way, there's tons of reports that basically this showing in the college football playoff has now led to donors and boosters wanting to help with NIL to bring this team to the next level. And that is huge. I mean, there's still a portal window that's going to open up. Things are still going to shift after the national championship. There's a national signing day. There is lots of stuff that if you're a Penn State fan, sure, you can say James Franklin didn't win that big game. But in my opinion, what he's setting up and what's about to happen at Penn State, you're closing the gap to Ohio State. You're closing the gap to Oregon. I mean, you are definitely going to be in the mix for a Big Ten championship and not in the, like, oh, maybe they'll do it way, as in like a no, they're a serious contender way.
You know, I saw, I forget who it was, but somebody I follow who's a Big Ten, Penn State beat reporter, say this after the fact, and I'll try and figure out where the credit is. But it essentially summarized was, I think most Penn State fans would sign the hell up for this every single year.
Yeah.
This is not an Ohio State situation. And I think realistically, if you're Penn State, you're like, man, we made it to the Final Four. We lost, but what a year, right? And oh, by the way, yes, they're going to lose who I think the best football player in America on defense in Carter, who was sensational. Oh my God, that dude is incredible, playing with one arm and just taking over a game.
Literally one arm.
For him, it's like almost a good thing. Like that championship would have gotten rough. I don't know what's wrong with his shoulder, but clearly a lot. And now he can relax and go get paid millions of dollars. But so yeah, you're right. Like I think most, the problem is, God damn it, they know how to lose a game. And they lose. It's not the same thing every time. And with Aller, who, you know, is coming back, you mentioned the running backs. They had a bunch of defensive players are coming back. They're trying to actually Ohio State this thing. Like, that's what it feels like. Now, the counterpoint, they lose their best two players.
Yeah.
You know, and Tyler Warren and Carter. But no, I think, yeah, there's got to be a place of acceptance between winning a national championship and not being a piece of shit. And it's like we've lost that area,
well,
I think.
We have, because what we were used to in a 14 playoff, and even I will say, okay, we were used to undefeated teams going through the season being undefeated, getting into the playoff. There was no questions asked or having one loss. Now there's a lot more to it. Where, hey, Ohio State didn't win the, or Penn State, excuse me, didn't win the big game during the season versus Ohio State, and they still made the college football playoff. So what we are used to the formula being is now changing. What you do need to do is have longevity. You need to have depth on your team. I mean, we'll talk about Ohio State, but I think I was prepping for a live show the other day, and I looked back at some of the quotes that Ryan Day said from Media Day when I opened an old doc that was literally about, like, Media Days and when he was, you know, talking about. And I was like, man, this guy is actually a mastermind and has been plotting from the very beginning and was ahead of the curve in terms of what the formula was to win a national championship. And I think that's benefited them significantly, and that's why they're in the national championship.
Penn State did some really dumb shit in that game, though. Like,
I gotta tell you.
Like, I'm gonna defend James Frank. I'm gonna say it's okay, Penn State. But man, they did some dumb shit. And winning an Natty is hard, but you think about them being that close, and they played Ohio State pretty tough in the first game.
Yep.
That's the part that hurts as a sports fan.
Yeah.
They were running the ball so well in the first half. I thought the play calling was asinine. Not one catch from a wide receiver still is hard to believe.
Ridiculous.
I've seen that shit. Get
Drew Aller some pass catchers.
Dude, that's crazy. So, and then obviously we'll talk about Notre Dame in as we preview the Nat. I mean,
yeah, I would
this
say
team is fun. This team is fun. We'll save them. Now let's Ohio State, Texas.
Let's talk Texas.
Go for it. Go for it. Where do you want to start?
Well, first, finally, Quinn Ewers has decided to announce that he is leaving for the draft. I thought it was interesting because there were a bunch of other people that announced that they were leaving. And then Quinn, it was still a question. Obviously, he's been hurt most of the year. That was like the takeaway, is that like they basically finally talked about the fact that he hasn't been at his best. Questionable to me that you would stick with him and not go to Arch Manning in a situation where maybe you should have. But I also think that I understand why Sark didn't. Because again, we saw in that double overtime game that he's capable of doing this stuff even when not 100%. But for Texas overall, like, they played the game that they needed to play to win that game. They absolutely did. They defensively did really well.
Yes.
And I was impressed, but I think, you know, you do lose a lot, but I think Texas is just like Georgia and Alabama. You're reloading. They're not losing. But yes, they're losing guys, but now you have your generational quarterback that you're getting that you have been waiting for, the chosen one. So now you're getting that. Certainly there's a lot of conversation around Sark and if he's leaving, but I don't see that being a huge, I don't see there being a huge draw for him to leave. However, next year, if they don't win a national championship, he's going to be in a Ryan Day and James Franklin situation where it's like, why haven't you done it yet?
So, yes, we can eulogize Texas's football season. Quinn Ewers is interesting. It's similar to Franklin. I don't know if you know what you had until you see what Arch Manning does. I think Arch is going to have his struggles. I think he'll be good. I think he'll, but Ewers was consistent and
but
kind
why
of the
didn't
architect.
You get that out this season? That's my point. Is like, you know that like your window for a national championship, much like Ohio State's, is like coming up.
Well,
that was my beef about the thing. But I mean, I get it. They played well, and I thought Sark did a good job. But I think again,
that play call on the goal line was fucking asinine. I mean, that, like, let's be honest.
There are things that are just hit that. Yeah, those are the narratives that are going to start to follow him. And I think I mean, go ahead and finish on Texas, and then we can talk about Sark specifically.
I'm going to say this. Looking ahead, Arch Manning is interesting. You're losing some dudes at wide receiver. I trust that the portal will be good to them.
Yes.
And they've got Wingo, who's really, really good, who's going to take a next step, the freshman. That defense is going to be crazy. Anthony Hill, Colin Simmons, who is a freshman. They've gotten some good returns on that side of the ball. That will be the best defense in college football next year.
Yeah.
That will be it. That will be the best defense in college football. They will be the number one team in everyone's trendy top 25. That will be the team. I don't think there's any question. Like,
they start the season playing Ohio State.
Oh, do they really?
I didn't know that.
Yeah, no, this will be the team. So, oh my God, Arch Manning.
I'm
versus,
pretty sure.
But like, so yeah, like we talked about last week.
Yeah, Ohio State week one. So you end with Ohio State, you get Ohio State.
Banger. And
you either get defending national champions. Well, let's just be real. Defending national champions, Ohio State.
There we go. And this is no puns allowed. See you later. no, I like, they'll be fun. They had some crazy injuries at running back this year. Like, they're going to be, they got some dudes there. This roster is exceptional. I actually think next year, Texas, and we'll talk about this, we start to move with attention. Like, I think they will be the favorite next week at this time to win the Natty, but we will see. Okay. Before we get to Ohio State and everyone else, Carson Beck, I don't think we talked about this last week. It happened after we.
Yeah, it happened the next day. And then it was like, oh, Carson's going to take his time selecting. It happened on Thursday. And it was like, oh, Carson's going to take his time, get to know, you know, the options that he has. And sure as shit, Jack Mack and his girlfriend theory, and you were on this too. You had messaged me about it. He ended up in Miami because his girlfriend plays, not only because of that. You're also going to play Miami. You saw the formula with Cam Ward, and essentially he's going because he does need to improve his draft stock. I mean, let's be honest, it plummeted this year, and rightfully so. You weren't throwing to Ladd McConkey and Brock Bowers anymore. So yeah, your numbers are going to dip significantly. And Georgia's not a place that's known for, like, those I feel like are outliers in terms of, like, getting really elite pass catchers. Like, that's not their priority. So you're going to go to a place like Miami where it's going to be a pass happy offense. And I think the biggest takeaway for me now is, okay, now what happens with Miami? They're losing a lot. So yeah. Portal-wise, Carson Beck needs to be a big draw, and he needs to be out there recruiting people to come play with him.
God, I don't know what it is, man. Like, the Carson Beck, Miami, that coaching staff, I don't know. I think Beck's talented, clearly. Georgia, I don't think, did him a lot of favors this year. I don't think he did himself a lot of favors this year. It's kind of a raw beat that he got hurt. $3 million to come back, not the worst thing. College football's crazy.
Yep.
But it. I don't know about – I'm with you on this. The vibes are not tremendous.
Do you know who they play to start the season?
No.
Notre Dame.
Dude. College football is like full of bangers next year. Is that what we're?
So week one is full of bangers. And let me say this: if for Miami getting left out of the playoff, no time like the present for you to be in a really good non-conference game to start the season. Whether you win or lose, it's early in the season. We've seen if you lose early in the season, it's much better than losing later. The end of their schedule is dog duty. It's on a silver platter. This is like we were talking about Ole Miss last year. Outside of Notre Dame, they are not looking to be overly challenged. Let's look at the rest of their schedule. Hold on, let me read.
I'm looking at it right now.
I knew it was Notre Dame. Let's see. They play Florida in week four. Okay, so even if you play Florida in week four, you could probably win that game. Okay. You have the edge.
Yeah, it's a big game, though.
It's a big game, but even if, say, you lose, you have two losses, and your two losses are to Notre Dame and Florida, an SEC team, you're going to be in good shape.
Yeah,
they're going to run through the rest of the ACC.
You got to play at SMU, who's going to be good again, at some point.
But, I mean, Florida the State. End of their – it's still – I think, again, learn the lessons you learned from last year. Don't play it safe when you get up big. And
you're not gonna have Georgia's schedule. I mean, which is good.
The idea of making a college football playoff and a national championship is certainly there.
To be determined on Beck.
I want to see what happens at the portal.
So we talked about Quinn Ewers. Let's talk about Deion and the Cowboys. So Mike McCarthy, God, the NFL hiring season is so strange. As a Jets fan, and obviously I'm in Chicago, so the Bears, too, are kind of, like, fumbling around looking for – like, it's so
Marcus
bizarre.
Freeman.
You know what? Fuck, why not? I mean
– I know.
If Ron Rivera is getting interviews and we're, like, just – it's just, like, regurgitating the same stuff over and over.
Yeah.
No offense to Riverboat Ron. Big fan. But no. So the Cowboys talked to Deion Sanders. And Deion Sanders, it sounded like, was very excited to talk to the Cowboys. And what do we think, A, about how Deion has handled this? Because he's kind of like, hey, it's intriguing, and I believe in Jerry, but I'm happy here. What do we think about how this whole thing is going down?
So Deion was on Good Morning America, I think, last week, and he said the only way that he would take an NFL job is if he could coach his sons. Now, obviously, the biggest part of that puzzle is Shador. I understand that he's happy at Colorado, and I saw the video of him talking about how, like, he doesn't have to be a dad anymore. He can just be a coach, all this stuff, blah, blah, blah. Colorado's not a place you give up the opportunity to go to the NFL for. So if the opportunity is given to him, he is going to leave. I don't even think they need to say that they'll get Shador. Do I think that that's going to be a huge part of the conversation and something he's going to push for? Absolutely. But I don't know. I don't think it's necessary. I guess for the Cowboys it would be because they're in a position to draft him. What are they, 12?
Yeah.
Yeah, so they're in a position to do it. So I feel like that would be fair to want that. But I don't think that he's I genuinely think the next stop for him is the NFL. I don't think it's somewhere else in college football. So I know that he said he's happy there, but also the wording from when he talked about an NFL job and then the when he actually had a phone conversation with Jerry Jones, the comments on Colorado were different. Like, it wasn't like, this is my home, I'm going to stay here. It was like, oh, I really like it here. And, like, basically make it worth my while to leave. So I do see Dion. Out of all the coaches that are in the conversation, so, like, you could throw Sark in there, Marcus Freeman, yeah. Bill Belichick. Out of all of the college coaches, which is weird to say, I think that Dion would be the most likely to leave for the NFL.
I also think, unfortunately, the NFL is like Sark's talent is, well, he's a good recruiter. Obviously, he runs a good program, but his talent is play calling. I think Dion's talent is being this antenna, and that his advantage is being this uniquely interesting personality that great players flock to. You lose a lot of that in the NFL. Not saying he wouldn't be successful. But I don't think that's his strength. I think his strength is recruiting and
I agree
program,
with you.
You know what I mean?
But I think he could also recruit really great people around him. Like, he would definitely have to get some input from Jerry Jones, which we know he will.
Yeah.
And he could attract big name people to come be coordinators for him and position coaches for him that guys would want to play for, ex-NFL players. Yeah. There is a vibe that you could create, but you're going to have to do it Jerry's way. So do you want to or do you not want to?
Well, great question. I think both of them have to understand what they're getting into. And I think Dion, though, is such a unique personality that the whole Jerry Dallas thing would probably not be a distraction. Like,
nope.
He kind of hovers in his own aura. And I think it's separate than what Jerry does. Like, I in a weird way, that part I don't think would be bad. I don't think they'd clash. I think, you know, it's such a unique job. But Dion, actually, in that sense, like, nothing seems to bother him.
They would clash. Nothing seems to bother him. He got a local beat reporter suspended.
Yeah.
Well, Let's be real. I think Dion would say things that Jerry would not particularly like him to say out loud. But I think it could work if Jerry let him be him and attract the talent and the people that need to be around him for that experiment to be successful at the pro level.
It is fair, like the little shit with Dion, but he never broke character. He did some weird shit, but he stays true to him. And we've been questioned. We have certainly taken our fair, not shots, but been questioning whether this would work at Colorado. Okay. I fair to question if it's going to continue to work. I don't know. That part is weird. I'd like to see him stay because he's done enough in 2 years where, like, let's see how this goes. Let's see Dion involved. So in Colorado, college football needs personalities. Dion is undeniably interesting and compelling. We don't need to lose more. We've been through that. Selfishly, I want him to stay around. Yeah. Like, dude, no Saban, no Harbaugh.
It just went off.
See, I wouldn't even notice. Certs page.
Certs.
The other thing I saw today, and it was something that Joel Klatt mentioned, the end of this college football season was incredibly chaotic, and the routine that we had was disrupted completely.
Yes.
And I'm not sure if anything was disrupted more. Nah, everything was disrupted. But Army and Navy used to have its own standalone platform, and now it was surrounded by bowl games, and it was odd. It didn't feel quite right. We talked about it on the pod. So he suggested playing it to start the season. Hey, there you go. This is great. Oh, clip it. So I get what he's saying. Like, hey, let's give Army Navy its own platform.
Yeah.
What do you think? I don't know. I have mixed thoughts. That's why I'm going to let you go in on this thing first.
I think it's a great idea, but I will say this. I think the bigger issue is what was resolved yesterday. Well, not resolved. But the FBS coaches voted unanimously to change the transfer portal window. And that is one of the biggest disruptors as well.
Yes.
Of just the season. And I will say, having National Signing Day during championship week this week, those to me are bigger disruptors of the season and the way things have gone, and expanded playoff and bowl season, all that. That, yes, of course, this is a priority and we want it to stand alone. But I'm more worried about those other things being remedied than this.
I want to talk about that, too. I will say, if you were to put Army and Navy on the first Thursday night to start college football.
But then it would be cold. And it wouldn't be cold. I like it during December.
This is my mixed feelings. I have vivid memories watching that snow game between these two a couple years ago. And just like, I was so excited for that because of the snow and the end of the year. But you want to drench this thing in America and make this like larger than life. First game of the year, the appetite for football will actually be larger, I think. I'm willing to give this a shot. I'm willing to say we're going to try 1 year experiment. We're going to do this. I don't know, like to open football, get ready, and I'm willing to give it a go. But yes, I do worry about the cold is, to me, definitely very much
part of it.
Let's talk transfer portal stuff. You alluded to it. Something needs to change.
Yeah.
Right. This is a shit show. So yes, they are talking about moving the window to try and get it into this 10-day
one-time window.
I understand why. What do you love it?
I love the idea that where it's placed is perfect. And because again, the other part for me that bothers me is that the second window is after National Signing Day. So like the impact that this has had on the kids coming out of high school has been significant. And I just wish we could figure out this stuff in a way where people can make decisions about their future without being screwed. And I feel like this has not been the case. This window will allow it to be before the National Signing Day that's in February. So there'll be a decent amount of flips after that. It allows for most of the college football playoff to be over. The only teams that will have to worry about this are semifinal teams. So a situation like Bo Pribula, where he needed to leave Penn State and they didn't have their original backup quarterback for the college football playoff.
It's a unique situation, too.
Yeah, so it's not going to mess with roster management. Also, like, staffs are going to be able to spend the time to recruit guys and be talking to guys when most of them are eliminated. Now, does that give a benefit to, you know, the teams that are still in it? Absolutely not. Or I guess a disadvantage? No. Because it is going to be like, they're definitely going to be focused on, you know, continuing to win and win a national championship. However, it's definitely significantly less than what you're dealing with the day after the college football playoff is announced. That opening is wild. The next couple of days are crazy. And it takes, frankly, for me, it takes away from the bowl season and college football playoff, because you're so focused on next season already. But it allows a coaching staff and a team to finish the season together without delaying it so far that there's not enough information. So
I also think it turns into more of a spectacle, which some could say is a bad thing. I'm going to say it's a good thing. It's like, to me, it feels like a more true free agency period. It would be fun. It would be very marketable.
Chaos for us.
It would be the closest thing we've had to signing day, I think, in a long time, like the original signing day.
Yes.
I don't see a lot of negatives. I know a lot of teams start their off-season strength programs early, and I mean, there's a reason they want to get some of this done to get these kids on and moved on to their new programs sooner, but I'm sure they would find ways around that, too. The tampering, by the way, in all this is going to be off the charts. Elite tampering will be going on.
Oh, there's elite tampering going on now. I mean, think about it. Technically, I'm pretty sure that Carson Beck missed the transfer portal window, to put your name in. I'm like pretty positive.
Yeah, nobody really cares.
I think he did. No, because wait. Because when did he announce? Maybe you get to if you take your name out of the NFL. I don't know. When was the end of that
one? I don't know either.
Transfer portal
window. I wonder how long that was set up for, by the way. Right?
Oh, like, a while. December 9th to the 28th.
Good to see he and his girl. So yeah, are
he
still
definitely
trucking.
That was after. So like literally no one cares. He's like committed it on campus and they literally don't have any, they can't technically do the paperwork. But yeah, it needs to change. It absolutely needs to change.
Okay. Last but certainly not least, and then we will go into the Natty. Yes. Well, this is chapter one of the Natty preview. It's the biggest matchup we have coming up this Monday night. It's the most important storyline, in my opinion, between these two teams. Ryan Day versus Lou fucking Holtz. Now, 2023.
Yep, give us a background.
Okay, Lou Holtz shits on Notre Dame's ability to compete against tough teams in tough games, right? It kind of just, you know, whatever.
Ohio State's.
Yes, Ohio State's. And just a, kind of a old man just shot. Not a mega shot, but a shot. Mm-hmm. And then after Ohio State wins, Ryan Day comes on the mic, like WWE promo style. It's, I wonder what Lou Holtz is doing right now. Unbelievable, these kids, right? And we had a good laugh on it, you and I. That was,
you were roasting him because you thought it was terrible. Was. And
I was.
I don't think I've ever said anything bad about Ryan Day. I'm going to improve the record and find a clip, but okay. I've been a Ryan Day supporter, much like you were blindly a Jim Harbaugh supporter. So let's just...
True. No, hey, look, and Ryan Day and I have, like, amended. Like, we're good now. We're fine.
Right.
But it was absurd at the time. It was ridiculous. Now, David Briggs, who used to cover Ohio State, and I remember used to be around him doing media days, caught up with Lou Holtz this week. And before that, they asked Ryan Day in a press conference, Have you talked to Lou Holtz? And he just said no. Kind of smiling, but he's like, no.
He's right? not. He's certainly not going to bite into that apple. It's not happening.
Okay. And so Lou Holtz, they asked him, and a lot of it's complimentary. This is a quote from this story for the Toledo Blade. He's done a tremendous job. He's done everything you could possibly ask other than beat Michigan. Okay? Which I love. Sure. But after having coached Ohio State, I understand how important that is to Ohio State fans, which is the most bizarre sentence. He's done a tremendous job other than win the most important game he has to win. And so they ask him at the end, this is another quote, I have great respect for Urban Meyer, who is a great coach, and he thinks the world of Coach Day. I don't know Coach Day very well, but you look at this resume, it's outstanding. Kicker here. And he's got the highest NIL payroll in the country.
Like, yep.
I would like to formally request we get Lou Holtz on this podcast and pick his brain a bit, because I love this. This is chess we are playing here, Lou Holtz, with Ryan Day's emotions. So
yes,
the winner will win this contest. I hope this never ends. I hope these two have a stare down like Uga and Bevo. I just showed my kids, by the way, that clip where they try to introduce Uga to Bevo. One of the worst ideas at a game we've ever had. Bevo almost mauled like a 13 people on the dog. I want to do that stare down with Lou Holtz and Ryan Day, and I want to see what happens. I want Lou Holtz to just get up there and get in his face and bam. So with that, we can officially preview the national championship. Now, from a betting perspective, this one is, I have been following this heavily all week long, and I'm fascinated by what we're seeing here. I've got some numbers, but let's start with just the obvious. So 8.5. I believe is the current number that we have for the national championship game. But what's interesting about that is this number went down to 7.5, 8, and then 7.5 during the week, a couple of days ago, and now it's back up to 8.5, the total to 46.5. So Notre Dame, it opened at 9.5, down to 8.5, down to 7.5, back up to 8.5. A little trivia. There have been two teams in the last, I believe, 15 years who have had a higher spread in the national championship game than 8.5. The spread's been higher.
Georgia underdog over TCU.
Yes.
Was it Michigan last year?
No. I had to look back at that game. That line was only 4.5. It was.
Hold on. In the last how many years?
I want to say it was 15 years. I got to pull up my story. Hold on.
Last 15 years?
Yes. There was a situation where it had an 8.5-point spread. It was Alabama versus somebody. And I can't remember who it was. Oh, okay. So in the last 15 years, I'll say last 12 definitively. So here's the other one. Alabama in 2013 was a 10-point favorite over Notre Dame.
Dame, okay.
Georgia in 2023, the worst game we've ever seen.
Literally.
And I'll say just you and I have ever watched, and I've watched some bad college football, was a 14-point favorite.
Yes.
The combined scores of those two games, 107-21.
Yeah.
I'm not saying we have that, but it is clear when we've had big favorites, the elite teams in college football have acted like elite teams.
You've got numbers, and I have numbers too. Do you know in the college football playoff era?
Which is rare for this podcast, by the way.
With receipts already. In the college football playoff era, the national championship game, the average margin of victory is like 21 points. The average.
Favorites have covered the last 5 years. It's bad. It's bad.
I will say this. Mm-hmm. I think Notre Dame is banged up. All right.
Yes.
The key to winning this game against Ohio State is their run game. Obviously, their best running back is not at 150%. So that's hard. You can tell we're not a numbers podcast, but I'm like, he's not at 150%. He needs to play the game of his life. And that offensive line needs to play the game of their life as well. So, against a very, very, very good Ohio State defense. Like, just so good in every capacity. Because I also don't think that you can... I think they're on every level defensively good. So, I don't even know that you can lean on one thing. So, you can't say, okay, say the run game doesn't go right for Notre Dame. They start to pass. You're still really, really asking for Caleb Downs to be a problem. Like you are baiting yourself. You need to have multiple ways of doing this, but you need to do it with some on the ground, and it needs to be, you need 150 yards plus to win.
So Texas did so much right against Ohio State. Texas gave a blueprint for how to beat Ohio State. And when you look at that score, 28-14, you actually look at Jack Sawyer running down the field in a game that should have been
fantastic
tied.
Moment. To say, I literally was like, good for him.
Dude, that is an Ohio State legacy kid. I did a profile for BR. Go read it. That feels like a long time ago. It was a long time ago. But yeah, like this was a kid that grew up and was kind of going to be the superstar, has been a really good player that is having his star moment and legacy. Right. So that being said, oh my God, Texas did some amazing things defensively. Jeremiah Smith had one catch for 3 yards.
Yes.
And Will Howard threw for 289 yards. 75 of those came to a running back on a freak screenplay. I'm going to call it that.
I'm going to say this. Texas did a lot well, and Notre Dame should look at Texas and look at Michigan to see how to beat Ohio State. They do not have the personnel that Texas does. So yes, they are very good, but I you have to limit it. Ohio State's gonna score on you no matter what. You have to limit it in every way you can. The key for them is going to be just not letting any one part of Ohio State's offensive game, whether it be the run game or Jeremiah Smith or Mbuka for that matter. Like, do not let any of them be the whole reason. Like, you have to just minimize it everywhere you can.
I feel like Texas, I agree with you on the personnel part. The other part that was interesting, if you watched Penn State, Notre Dame, I mean, Notre Dame was on skates the first 30 minutes. The fact that Penn State did not stick to running the ball more was where I was losing my mind.
James Franklin.
They averaged 5 yards a carry for the game. Penn State, right? And man, just God, give the ball more. Like, it just, I didn't get that. Aller clearly didn't have it. Commit to the run, stick to the run, etc.
Yeah.
But they were getting pushed around, and they made some pretty good adjustments in the second half on all sides, and it clearly worked. I just also, like, this Riley Leonard thing is really hard for me to evaluate. He made some really good throws. Their wide receivers made some awesome contested catches. These are not stars. Great House, that's a great name, by the way. Jaden Great House looks like a really good player, but how clean was a lot of this? It didn't look all that clean.
No, and I will say the one thing I will give Riley Leonard credit for is that he did make throws of 25 plus yards that, like, we're not used to seeing
Correct.
Him have to make.
I agree.
And so I will give him that benefit of the doubt there. When I was talking about a preview of that game on a live show, I was saying, like, if I had to pick a quarterback that was more battle tested, that I trust to make decisions in a situation where they have to scramble, it's going to be Riley Leonard for me over a Drew Aller. And Riley Leonard did prove a lot to me in that game. However, what he is up against is, this could get ugly. Like, Ohio State's defense is so good. The more I watch, like, we've talked about the offense and, like, you know, Chip Kelly and you know, one before the Tennessee game, we were like, why are they not using the best wide receiver in all of college football? What's going on? But defensively, Ohio State is so good as well that it's like, man, this is the team that we knew they could be. This is the team we knew they could be all year long.
Have you seen the stats on the penalties or lack thereof called against teams that Ohio State is playing?
No.
Have you seen this?
But I will say against teams that Ohio State, so, like, meaning Ohio State doesn't get calls?
No. This is a real stat.
Okay.
The team that Ohio State is playing against has not been called for one holding call this year. Not a single holding call. That not one.
Well, and I will say this, Notre Dame has to play physical. That's going to be a huge part. Like, they play man, so you are going to have to bump and rough up somebody to stop them one on one.
You are going to have to.
And if they can get away with it and use that to their advantage, great. Notre Dame, that's going to be your advantage. That is going to be your advantage.
They are 134 out of 134 in terms of penalties against the opposing team. They are dead last in football. I don't exactly know what that says, right? Like, but literally, they are 134.
Do you think it's more of like a physical? No, because if you're getting beat like that, you're going to hold.
3.7.
That's wild.
Penalties a game. By the way, I mean, yeah, it's crazy. And the discrepancy is nuts when you look at, you know, 8.
Well, I mean, to be in a national championship and you're literally the last in football is, like, wild.
Yeah, I mean, literally the last. And so I don't know what that means other than, you know, Jack Sawyer, this line. And they've got good defensive line players. They have great players.
Their defensive line is ridiculous.
It was really interesting. Abdul Carter,
their linebackers are ridiculous. Everybody is ridiculous on that. Looking at it from, like, a personnel standpoint, I'm like, this is why we did this over the summer. Because that's when you dive into, like, personnel, who's returning, who you brought in. But I do want to talk about briefly, as I cough here, Ryan Day, something that I said earlier on the show that I saw this quote from him from Media Days. And Media Days quotes are coach speak. It's talking season. It's really nothing matters. But it was about adding Judkins to his roster when you already have Trevion Henderson, who's elite, how they're going to share touches and why. His discussion of it was basically like, college football is changing. We are expanding the playoff. You play longer seasons, you play more games, you need to have significant depth, and not only just depth, elite depth, to be able to be successful for an entire season. Now, thinking about it and sort of the flip that was switched come playoff time and the play calling that we were criticizing prior to Ohio State getting into the college football playoff, like, Chip Kelly and Ryan Day, like, sat down and were like, hey, these are the things we're going to save when we make the college football playoff. We're personnel-wise, and play-wise, we can still beat people with this formula. But we're going to hold off. And this is like an NFL situation where, like, you know that people save their stuff. So, like, yeah, it's a long season. So you're getting depth at a position where you know you're going to be pretty successful. And you're also waiting until the right time to kind of unleash everything that you possibly have. And I thought that was so interesting. Well, I saw that quote and I was like, that makes perfect sense that he was literally prepping for the change in college football where like people are playing like chess and he's playing checkers because he's like, you know what? I know that what it takes to get to the college football playoff when you have a 14, but this is different. And the way that it has turned out for them clearly has been a very successful formula. So I was highly impressed with that and couldn't believe that a quote from Talking Season really could be meaningful at this point in the season.
And look at Penn State returning their two running backs who somehow cohesively worked together. I remember when these guys arrived, you're like, yeah, there's no way.
No way. Someone's going to leave. Well,
and now, though, but they're probably getting paid. They are getting paid hundreds of thousands of dollars, which is not all that different.
Makes it better.
From what
but look at, like, Alabama.
Yeah.
Like, Alabama was doing this before anybody.
It's, they were. Yeah, no, there is a reason for, and now you can get paid for it, like, openly to break, you know, to kind of say, all right, well, we're going to get paid. Like Singleton, what do you think? I mean, he's probably getting $250,000 to $400,000. I mean, these are stars, These are stars. So you're paying your running backs like $500,000, let's say. And if you're these running backs, you're like, all right, cool, we can do this, and we can save ourselves a little bit for the NFL. We can like commit to this and get paid, and then hoof for a little bit fresher.
Yeah,
it's just amazing that is sort of acceptable now.
Yeah, which is nuts.
Money is helpful.
So I will say now we do need to make picks. I think both of us are on the same page here. No pun intended. I am going to stick with Ohio State winning this. I'm going to stick with Ohio State covering the 8.5. What are you feeling about betting on this game?
I am going to stick with this as well. I'm going to stick with them covering the 8.5. Really struggled with the total.
What's the total?
It is 46.5. I think it's going to end up right around there.
Yeah.
I will say I kind of lean maybe slightly under.
Okay.
I don't think this is a blowout. I think it's kind of an ugly football game.
I think it'll be ugly to start, and then it'll bust wide open. Ohio State will bust it open, and we can run early. That's really what we want.
I am in.
All right. So we're in Atlanta.
We're going, by the way.
I leave tomorrow. You leave the next day. We will be there. On the ground. We're super excited about it, but today is also a very special day. Thank you for spending your 40th birthday with us here on the pod. And do you have any random shit before I give you a birthday toast?
No.
Or anything you'd like to say?
I will not stay in the way of a birthday
of this toast.
Yes, I will.
I'm very proud of this toast. Okay, see, I literally says Kramer birthday toast. I wrote it down because I didn't want to mess it up. So I'll hold this up and I'll say it. Okay, are you ready?
Not a beer, but yes.
So a Kramer toast, because you're the man and you're 40, okay? We can cheers to the many beers. Buddy, you're more than a co-host, but a friend. Let's ride this Ohio State National Championship future bet to the end. Happy birthday, Adam. No one has a bad word to say about him. For he's a jolly good fellow. By the way, it's pronounced Modelo. Cheers.
Oh my God.
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay, real quick. Very nice. Thank you very much. When you nailed that last line, like when you thought of it, were you like, oh my God.
I said it over and over out loud. I thought it was the funniest thing I'd ever come up with in my life.
That's very, that's very, very good. You are, you might be in the wrong profession. That is incredible.
Should I write cards and just greeting cards?
Yeah, yeah. That's it. Like, no, thank you. And poems? I am indeed 40.
You're a man. You're 40.
I have one on the heels of that. We went out this weekend. Neighbor Jason, myself, wives were included. Our neighbor Ernie, who's involved in all of our betting and our tomfoolery. Sans kids, we went out and we had a great time. Everyone was miserably hungover. Miserably hungover on
and
Sunday.
And you all have children.
Oh no. There was pukings. Like, this was not the norm. We are old.
Look.
So I will say the one thing I noticed more, because I love to have a good time, and I'm sure we'll be in Atlanta. We're going to have fun, right?
Yes, we will have fun.
We just do not, I just cannot recover like I used to. And I fucking hate it.
Buddy, I am 32 years old and cannot recover like I used to. It is unbelievable. And I wear an Oura ring that tells me so every time I drink. So
yes,
but I am excited for you, and I'm glad that we can.
Thank you.
We've celebrated birthdays together. Yes. I remember the first national championship we went to. Your birthday was like the day before you came to New Orleans, so yes, we celebrated, which is wonderful. Or actually, it was the day after we were leaving, I think.
Yeah, no, I like the other thing I was thinking about. Like, we both missed out on this last year. We did.
We were sick last year.
Sick as shit. You were sick as shit, and it was interesting. Like, I don't take any of these trips for granted. I don't know if I've ever covered a Notre Dame game. Which nice. Is cool too. Like, it's just a neat thing. And look, we think Ohio State's going to win. This game's got juice. Like, I'm excited. Like, this is fun. I this is work, but this is fun. I'm pumped. There's worse things to be doing turning 40 than to be doing this. But yes, I'm old. I feel old. LeBron James and I are about the same age. By the way, we're a month apart. I think about that a lot. Like, that is...
That's a weird thing to think about because of all the people, think of somebody that's not, like, the greatest player to ever play their sport.
Well, I hurt myself coughing, and he does not. So, as a starting point, it feels like that is an entryway to that. So, getting old kind of sucks, but I will say, this will be my mini... kids keep you young in a weird fucking way. You have no choice but to stay creative and young and nimble and have joy, because otherwise your kids are going to suck. So there's my advice about getting old. Kids also...
Be fun or your kids are going to suck.
No, they make you old, but they make you young at the same time. And I'm sure we'll do whatever the hell we're going to do tonight. They're going to want to... There's no football on. Like, there's not much football anymore. And I'm telling you, in our house, it's like depressing... especially my boys. So that's a problem we're going to have to work through. But in the meantime, thank you. Yes, we're going to go. We're going to have fun. And I don't know what's in store, but we'll make the most of it. And then, I get to see you in 2 days. That'll be fun.
Yep.
All right.
Look at that. I think that's
it. So what? We have a wrap-up pod next week for the season. And there's plenty of shit we're going to have to talk about, which is good. And I'm sure we'll have some content along the way when we are in Atlanta.
Yes.
Which will be great. So then we're going to get apparently snowed in. So we might be there a few extra days.
No. No, we're not. No, we're not. We're coming home.
Buddy,
we are not getting snowed in.
It's just... I'm done.
Go.
Just be prepared. Pack a couple extra, like, clothing items. Like, be ready. all right. With that, Paige and Adam, we will talk to you guys next week from... Atlanta. Where are we going? Atlanta. And we'll wrap up the season at South. Cheers.